Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Visions for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Tuesday, March the 2nd, 2021. We are continuing our study in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 40, the third paragraph, In This Frame of Mind. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Terry H., 12 Traditions, Rhonda R., and readers of the text, Lois P., Dana P., and Brandy M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, March the 1st, the 10 a.m. meeting, 16496, and this morning, Tuesday, March the 2nd, the 7 a.m. meeting, 16500. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Terry. Press star 1 to unmute, Terry.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I was just talking away. Thank you, Lynn. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace, one day at a time. I am not cured. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and their lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. And eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service today.
Thank you, Terry H. And Rhonda R. will read the 12 traditions. Welcome, Rhonda. Rhonda, please press star 1 to unmute.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for your service. This is Rhonda R., grateful, recovered, compulsive eater in Georgia. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized. We may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for letting me do service today.
Thank you, Rhonda. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 40, the third paragraph in this frame of mind, and we're reading and sharing on that one paragraph only. Lois P., would you read for us, please? Press star 1 to unmute, please, Lois.
Hi, good morning. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. In this frame of mind, I went about my business, and for a time all was well. I had no trouble refusing drinks and began to wonder if I had not been making too hard work of a simple matter. One day I went to Washington to present some accounting evidence to a government bureau. I had been out of town before this particular dry spell, so there was nothing new about that. Physically, I felt fine. Neither did I have any pressing problems or worries. My business came off well. I was pleased and knew my partners would be too. It was the end of a perfect day. Not a cloud on the horizon. This is something that state of being is something I am so familiar with. Everything is fine in my world today. Everything is going just great. He talks about going to Washington to present some accounting evidence. So obviously he had an important job. I had important jobs. I felt accomplished in the world. To some degree, as did Fred. It was a beautiful day. I've had those beautiful days where I thought all was perfect. But in this paragraph, I can see that the trap is set. It's about to snap on him as it did so many times on me in my life when I was deluded by the idea that I could manage what I thought was a fairly reasonable, difficult but reasonable issue in my life, and that was dealing with my food obsession. Who knew? I had no clue, nor did Fred have a clue that there was something other, another way or other than himself that could master this. There were so many instances in his life and in my life that I could meet those challenges, that I could surmount obstacles. And so I was eating the whole time. So what? So what? I put on, 50 pounds, 60 pounds. So what? I was married. I had a good job. I had children. But I kept falling back into that pit of delusion that all was well. And somehow I was fine and I could manage this. So it's a very painful paragraph for me to read because I've been in that state of delusion and illusion and a feeling that all was well when it truly wasn't. And I have great compassion for him now that I'm on the other side of the river here, so to speak, and I'm thankfully, gratefully recovered. Thank you to God and to this amazing program. I have great compassion because I've been there in that illusion that everything was fine, and meanwhile inside I'm suffering. He was suffering, but yet trying to overcome it with his ideals of, I can do this, I'm important, I'm successful. That's the trap that was set so many times for myself that ended up just crushing me within days or weeks of that deluded feeling. And I just didn't know any better, neither did Fred, who knew that there was something greater than myself that could actually enter into my life, that could become a part of my breathing, my living, my life. Who knew? I didn't know. To me, God and heaven was something else out there. There was no connection, and I feel that's what's happening for Fred, and I feel sorry for him because I now feel sorry for myself. I didn't know any better. We don't know that there is some way to live where that power can literally enter ourselves or into my heart, into my very being, where it can become the living breath for me and the commitment every day to live a life connected to that great power. I had no idea, nor does Fred at this point. So thank you so much. And with that, I pass. Everyone have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Thank you, Lois P. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared Friday or Monday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Mary G.
Roz G.
Okay, so far I've got Mary G. and Roz G., but I was hearing a faint voice, I believe, thank you, in the background that I couldn't catch. Have I missed anybody?
Elena P.
I heard somebody P.
Tiffany P.
Elena C.
Nomi
F. Thank you. Let me tell you who I do have. I have Mary G, Roz G, Ann D, Tiffany P, Elaine C, and I missed that last lady who spoke. Anybody else? Okay, let's go with that lineup then, please. We have Mary G, Roz G, Andy, Tiffany P, and Elaine C. Good morning, Mary. Please press star 1 to unmute, Mary.
Okay, sorry, I was talking away there. Hi, this is Mary G. I'm in Chicago, Illinois. Compulsive overeater. It's very ironic that we're reading this paragraph, because I feel like I just recently, literally yesterday, experienced something very similar to this. You know, this whole went about my business, you know, all was well. Same with me, you know, I'm going about my business, program's pretty good. I wasn't feeling well yesterday, and the thought occurred to me, I'm not feeling well, my stomach doesn't feel good. So instead of having that salad I committed, I am going to get some soup instead. Because, you know, a salad is too much on the stomach, blah, blah, blah. Soup is better. It's more comforting. And I decided to make this decision on my own without consulting anyone because, you know, I can make my own food choices. You know, I don't need to commit, you know, a switch for a salad to a soup. I'm going to get a vegetable soup. It's still a vegetable, blah, blah, blah. I did it, and unbeknownst to me, that soup that I got had sugar in it, and I did not know. And, of course, then the allergy kicked in, and I was hungry after I ate that soup. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just have, you know, I'm going to throw some fruit in on my lunch that I usually don't have fruit. And I'm going to throw this in, this oatmeal yogurt thing. I'm sorry for naming all the foods, but it's just what happened. And I ate some extra things, and I didn't feel right about it. So it's just so crazy because, you know, this is exactly kind of what happened. I physically, you know, I felt fine. Nothing was really that, no pressing problems on the horizon. It was a pretty okay day, but the thought came that I don't feel well and I'm going to have soup instead of salad. There's my mental twist. And I don't really know why it happened because I feel like I connected with my higher power. And then there was sugar in it, and it triggered the allergy. So I had to be honest about it, and I'm being honest with all of you. And I talked about it with my sponsor and some other people, and it's just, like, so crazy, the insanity of this disease. It could sneak up on you at any moment. And so there's some things I'm going to do. I'm going to, you know, boost up my program here because I was kind of falling short. I was resting in my laurels. So I'm just so grateful that I get on this meeting and this is exactly what you're reading. You know, maybe God really needed me to hear this today. So thanks for listening. I know I just kind of rambled on, but that's all. I pass.
Thank you, Mary G. Roz G., it's your turn, followed by Ann D. Good morning, Roz.
Well, good morning. Thank you very much. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And the reality of the Big Book says that we are without defense against the first drink, or for us, against the first, you know, bite. We're without defense. That's a pretty sobering reality. So whatever frame of mind I'm in, I don't have a defense because the disease of compulsive overeating is too strong for me as a human being. So what I need to do is I need to remain in fit spiritual condition because right now I'm in my backyard on Pacific time and there are some clouds on the horizon, but they're cirrus clouds. They're not rain clouds. They're pretty. And the sun is coming up and the birds are, you know, starting to swoop in. The spring is slowly approaching and it's pretty out here. And boy, you know, a cinnamon roll with a cup of coffee would sure be a nice way to start off the morning. But the truth is that would be deadly poison for me. So my dog is lapping up some water if you hear some background noise there. And thank you, God, this morning, you know, at 4 a.m. my time, my morning starts out with God and my Big Book and scripturals, you know, scripture that I read from my religious practice and working with others. And that's the medicine. That's the morning routine for me. That's how I, you know, stay fit. and a spiritual practice of having a food plan that I have to enter, that I have to do, that my sponsor has access to anytime she wants to look at it. So with no matter how I'm feeling, fine, in this paragraph here, I'm without defense. I have to keep in fit spiritual condition or else I'm headed right back into the food. And with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roz G. And Andy, it's your turn, followed by Tiffany P. Good morning, Ann.
Hey, this is Ann B. I'm a compulsive overeater in New York. I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 16 years. For me, this story about Fred is a story about a missing 10th step. And I think one of the things that I notice about myself is when I'm in a crisis, the adrenaline, whatever, I pull myself together, I get through it. But then a lot of times afterwards, when I think it's over, is when the emotions are percolating. And, you know, that's when I think, oh, I can celebrate because it's over. And so this guy, he completed this business deal that was really stressful, and he thinks it's over, but from a 10th step perspective, the emotional stuff is still churning. And, you know, I fortunately have been abstinent for 16 years, but I've seen this with my sponsees a lot of times that, you know, they'll eat a trigger food and then they don't binge and they go, oh, it was okay. But then the binge happens 3 days later. Sometimes these things, there's a delayed effect. And so this is like, for me, the importance of a 10th step is like, okay, you know, I'm happy that I concluded something that was stressful, but I have to recognize that I'm still restless, irritable, discontent, as in page 52, because their things are still churning. I'm still jittery from having gone through that crisis. So I'll pass.
Thank you, Andy. Tiffany P., it's your turn, followed by Elaine C. Please go ahead, Tiffany.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Tiffany P., recovered in San Antonio. And, you know, looking at this paragraph, I can't help but look at the last sentence of the previous paragraph, where it ends with a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. And then within less than, you know, a couple of sentences, he starts I began to wonder if I had not been making too hard work of a simple matter. And that's how quickly my disease works, right? At first, I'll try to keep on guard, and if I can just keep these foods out of my house or you know, stay away from these foods, and I'll do okay for a while or whatever. And then, you know, I start thinking, well, I can have that zero-calorie food or that low-fat food that has sugar in it. It's you know, doesn't have that much fat or whatever. So what, it has some sugar in it, it's okay. Everyone, you know, I see other people eating it, right, without consequences. And so, you know, that's a reminder that my disease does not care about me keeping on guard or exercising my willpower. It is, as someone previously said, I have no defense against that first bite. At the top of my next page, I have written from a speaker that I heard share, just being sober never kept me sober, right? And the same thing for me, just being abstinent never kept me abstinent. Because then I'm relying on my own will. I need a higher power because, you know, as Fred writes, he was physically fine. Neither did I have any pressing problems. I remember early in program, you know, I would have a binge and my sponsor would try to ask me, so what was happening before? Like, what was going on? And I couldn't think of anything, you know, like things were going relatively well. I was doing okay. I was working or going to school or whatever. I couldn't, you know, put my finger on like, this is what caused it. And, you know, it could be completely sunny and shiny and I'm having a great day and I'm in, feel like I'm, you know, have a things are going well at work and relationships or whatever. And, that is still no defense against my disease. I need a spiritual solution. I need a power that is greater than myself that will stand between me and my broken brain, my disease, because, you know, my willpower just simply isn't enough. This thing is more powerful than I am. And so that's why I need the 12 steps. I need to get to a higher power, that even in those moments where I think everything is going well, or in those moments when things aren't going so well, you know, I have that defense against this disease, because it's either, for me, it's either God or the refrigerator. So that's what I wanted to share. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Tiffany P. And Elaine C., it's your turn. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. It's Elena C. My name is Elena C. from Greer, South Carolina. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and a grateful member of A Vision for You. And I'm very grateful for this meeting and for the comments. And thank you for moderating. So this paragraph is reminds me that most of the time for me, like at times I ate because to numb my emotions, but a lot of times I ate because I was celebrating something. Like, you know, a lot of times I was at a party and I was happy. And, you know, this disease doesn't mean that it kicks in only to when we have overwhelming human emotions. So just like for Fred, you know, that life was going well, there were no problems, but, you know, he began to wonder if I had not been making too hard work for of a simple matter, you know, and that was true for me too. Oh, come on, you know, I binge on sugar, I binge on chocolate, but come on, maybe it's not such of a big deal. And that's the twist of the mind. And that's when I think the allergy kind of kicked in, and at the thought, at the seeing of the cake from the parties, which, by the way, some people, they had to hide away the cake from me because I was eating too much. They wanted to give the cake the next day to the kids, to keep it for the children, you know, and I was eating almost the entire cake. Yeah, so I know that we say that it's how we cope with the emotions. We cope by eating, but the excitement or just being calm, you know, the disease can kick in as well. And I know it did for me. And if I didn't have this, you guys and, you know, a sponsor who carried me through the steps and working on the steps to get closer to the higher power, and now I have to maintain this spiritual connection every single day, because every single day I wake up, I need a refresher. Otherwise, I can't do it. And I get a refresher by just listening to these meetings and, you know, saying my prayer or meditation, and then, you know, 11th step with a partner at the end of the day, to review my day, and working with others, continuing to work with others, which is how I'm learning. I'm learning to be a sponsor right now, and that's how I maintain my recovery. And I'm very grateful for that, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Alana C. So just for those who may have come on the line a little bit later, we are continuing our study in the big book, in the chapter More About Alcoholism, on page 40, the third paragraph in this frame of mind. And the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Nomi S.
Kathy Z.
Okay, I heard Nomi. Sorry, who was that?
Anna S. from New York.
Okay, I heard Nomi C., Kathy Z., Anna S. Who else would like to share this morning?
Anne Marie M.
Don E., Kansas City.
We've got room for one
Anne
more.
Anne Marie M.
Yes, I got you. Thank you, Anne Marie.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
All right. This is who we have then for our lineup. Nomi F., Kathy Z., Anna S., Anne Marie M., and Dawn E. Nomi S., please go ahead. Press star 1 to unmute, Nomi.
May I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, okay, thank you. Hi, I'm Nomi S., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. This feels like such a strong paragraph to me in that my program has been really great for a long while, and I noticed just in the last few months that I can start to have thoughts that maybe lead me to believe that maybe I don't have a problem. Maybe I just needed a little bit more discipline. Maybe I just needed this or that that I'm now doing that I wasn't before. But that's a lie. That's a lie, because it's the very program itself, or it's God through the program, that is that allows me to be recovered on a daily basis. And when I've spoken to other fellows who've been recovered longer than I have, that's true for them, is that they need to be reminded of it. And it's like, on weeks when I'm so busy and I haven't had a chance to call in to be reminded of all of your stories, of all of the sort of pitfalls that we are faced with, that can have us fall out of abstinence, it's when those thoughts start to creep in. And it's when those thoughts start to creep in, then I think, oh, no, I'm getting too far away from the source, and I need to rein myself back in, because it all starts with the thought, right? So as soon as my thoughts are not on serving others, serving God through serving others, and looking at my own stuff that comes up every day, my own self-will, my own fears, if I'm not aware of that, it's when the food becomes a problem. But as soon as I'm focusing on my connection to God and my connection to others and keeping my character defects in check, well, God doing it, is when the food becomes quite secondary. That my focus is not on me, and that if I have a great day like Fred did here, where I'm just going about my day, being productive, you know, beautiful clouds in the sky, blue skies, that's a gift. And I have to see that as a gift from God and not just something that is part of my everyday and that I deserve. And that is part of my recovery for the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Nomi S. Kathy Z., it's your turn, followed by Anna S. Welcome, Kathy.
Good morning, fellows. This is Kathy Z. from Duval, Washington State. And I am a recovered compulsive overeater and very grateful to be here this morning. So what this reading it reminds me, I need to focus this morning personally on gratitude. I need to focus on gratitude so much right now in my life. And this reading reminds me of my food addiction and the fact that I am not cured, but I'm grateful that I am recovered. And I'm grateful that I'm able to be on this line with my vision fellows, listening to everyone's experience, strength, and hope to help remind me that I'm not cured. So that when I am in those places where I think I've got this mastered, everything's going well. Geez, maybe I can have some of that or some of this. I'm reminded, you know, that's not the best way to go. And I'm reminded by my higher power with me every day. God is he's my pilot and my compass. I'm reminded by him. And I'm reminded by my fellows in program. And so I'm just so grateful, because if I was on my own, then I would definitely be dabbling in the danger foods, and I would be in trouble. So, food for me is such a pleasure. It was always such a pleasure. I was always seeking pleasure. And I had other addictions too, that I was able to, with the grace of God, be recovered from. But food is something that we need to have every day, you know? And so I never really thought I had a food problem until I did come into program and really realized that I do have the allergy of the body, and that my mind is critically injured. So this is where I learned that food for me was such a pleasure. And when I'm irritable and discontent and life is not going well, I would constantly be seeking pleasure, and it was like in that food. And now that I have surrendered and given my life over to my higher power, and I do that every morning and every day, and I just pray to the deepest part of my soul, especially right now I'm going through a really difficult time. Leaning into my higher power is protecting me. God is protecting me, and it's because of my work, putting forward the willingness to try to connect with him every day. He's giving me the intuition that I do not need pleasure in food, that I will receive my pleasure from him. So my pleasure from him is what is keeping me recovered today, and I would not have found that if it was not through this program. So I am very grateful, and I wish you all an abstinent, recovered, beautiful day. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Kathy Z. Anna S., it's your turn, followed by Anne Marie M. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. This is Anna S. from New York. I've been really listening intently, attentively to everyone share about Fred's story and this particular part of it. I really identify with Fred and Jim and the Jaywalker, various parts of my compulsive eating history. I've felt all of their different emotions and experiences. Today, I am not abstinent from my alcoholic foods. I'm not working with a sponsor today, but I am not compulsively overeating, but I'm not abstinent. However, I have been listening to regularly all of the vision meetings, the 7, the 10 a.m., and the Sunday meeting, which have helped me enormously. So I just want to share that, at least for a vision for you, I really believe that to keep coming back is worthwhile. I'm not saying it's not worthwhile in other OA meetings, but there's just so much recovery here. The kind of recovery I want. I want to be recovered. And as far as the impetus for Fred having, you know, crossing that threshold and thinking he wanted to have a drink, in the next paragraph, I'm sorry to jump ahead, the way I identify with that is to just remind myself, you know, it doesn't matter if he's having a wonderful day, the best day of his life, the worst day of his life. The reason why it doesn't matter, I know for myself that I want to eat when I want to eat because I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm an addict. But there is hope, and I don't believe that just because I'm not abstinent today that I don't seek my higher powers' will for me, because I am. And anyway, that's all I wanted to share. I hope everyone has a great day. I pass.
Thank you, Anna S. Anne-Marie M., it's your turn, followed by Dawn E. Please go ahead, Anne-Marie.
This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, gratefully recovered through God's grace. I had a very, very difficult time unmuting, so I've been trying to unmute since the beginning of the meeting, and that's why I asked if I said my name again, so I just wanted to apologize for that. I can identify with so much that everyone has said. One person was talking about skipping out on doing 10 steps, and that's what I started doing for a while, and then realized I need to do, you know, 10 steps. So, you know, I continued with my prayer and meditation and did my 10 steps, and I was doing well and abstinent for a few months, and then I learned about two-way prayer, and I started doing two-way prayer, and I left out the 10 steps. I just felt as though I had a direct line to God and that, you know, I could just not need to talk to anybody about what was bothering me. I was talking to God. And I picked up again. Today is 90 days, and I'm really very, very grateful for that. I need to do everything in this program. It's, for me, I need to work the steps. I need to be other-centered. I need to pray. I need to stay connected to God throughout the day. I need to do 10 steps. I need to live in 10, 11, and 12. And without that, I don't stay abstinent. I've gotten abstinent millions of times. Well, maybe not millions, but probably close to 1,000 anyway of times. But to stay sober, for me, I need to do everything. I've got to weigh and measure my food. I need accountability to my sponsor to let her know what I'm having. If I'm changing anything, I need to call her. If I have to change anything, I need to reach out to other people. I need to, you know, I do all these things. I have my sponsor gave me disciplines to do, and I do them every day, and I don't want to ever stop. I don't want to ever think that, you know, I'm making too big of a deal of this, because I had thought that at one time. So I'm going to pass, and thank you.
Thank you, Anne-Marie M. And Donnie, it's your turn. Please go ahead, Don. Press star one to unmute. Oh, there he is.
I'm sorry. Good morning. My share is the context of the first two sentences, and I was having no trouble. I was in relapse for a long, long time, and this past a week ago today, I came back to this meeting and then stayed with this meeting through Friday, and Friday evening it turned from a good day into the great flood of 2021, which was my basement full of water from a pipe that had busted, and we didn't know about it. And so from the time our pipes unfroze in the Midwest, this leak had been occurring with even, you know, so we made it through the weekend. I called the insurance agent, and we were depressed and down, but I was successful in getting to a Saturday and Sunday meeting. Monday morning, yesterday, the day started off with missing the meeting, but I've scheduled for a meeting later in the day, or I planned, and so I started putting together a conference meeting at the house with the adjuster and the plumber and the emergency service that was going to work on the flooding and the carpet, and they all had lots of questions. The coordination of the three on short notice went back and forth, and finally I got a call 2:30 in the afternoon that they were going to be able to all meet. We met, more questions, but ultimately after the meeting, my wife and I felt really good, relieved, and happy about the whole situation. And so she said, why don't we have carry out of pizza and beer? And so I said, sure, I was up for it. I don't know if that makes her codependent or not, but she brought home the pizza along with another pie that was like breadsticks, only it was in pie shape. I ate, as you can, well, you can't imagine it, but I was stuffed when I got done. I missed a 6:30 meeting that I had scheduled because of the time frame, and I never rescheduled another meeting. I polished off the evening with Girl Scout cookies, as many as I could possibly eat. And
time for you, then John.
Then I got up in the middle of the night and had some more. Today, I made the meeting, but I missed a doctor's appointment this morning, and I've got a call with, I had a call coming up. Anyway, it's so easy to go back down the rabbit hole, and thank God for this meeting. I'm going to make that call to my sponsor today and fess up, and like Forrest Gump says, that's all I got to say about this. Pass.
Thank you, Don E. Thank you. We have time for one more share. Who would like that time, please?
Anya
S. Oh, boy. I heard two people at once. Sorry, could you try again, please?
Manya E.
Okay, great. Manya E., please go ahead. Manya E., please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Manya E. from Louisiana, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. And this paragraph reminds me of myself so much. By the grace of God, today I am abstinent. And I can see how my delusional thinking and the seriousness of disease can automatically put me back into the food or anything else, into that sick behavior, because that is, as an addict, that is what I do. And I know that circumstances, people, places, things cannot cause me to pick up. It's my thinking that disturbs me, and not about other people, places, and things. And so for me, this is like a step one. I have to go back to step one on a daily basis and many times a day so that I can see what this disease does to me, my powerlessness, and that I have no control over this, and that I need a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. And so this is a very strong indicator for me that every day I have to do step one, two, and three, and then continue in 10, 11, and 12, as was said earlier. And so that's all I have, and I just want to claim my seat, and I appreciate everybody's shares this morning. Have a wonderful day, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Manya E. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Tuesday. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Dana P., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Press star 1 to unmute, Dana.
Good morning. Thought I was unmuted. Thank you, Lynn, so much for your service. It's an honor to read. Dana P., compulsive overeater in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.